I have to admit, I'm a little concerned about your well-being.
You and me both.
I sighed and reached for one of the cookies she'd brought. What I mean is, you seem very numb, like you haven't really even begun to process everything. You've avoided talking about how you're feeling about either one of them. I know it's complicated, but at some point you're going to have to face it, talk about it. I was quite aware of the fact that I was in denial. It was intentional, because any time I would think about either one of them, I'd burst into tears. Denial was my strategy for getting through the day so that I could function for the kids and for Milo. As soon as I stopped denying what was happening, the pain would creep in. Like now. I let that man go back to Chicago without telling him that I loved him because he told me he didn't want to hear it. There was so much I needed to say to him, and nothing would come out. I've been the same way with Rory. He's been calling me, and I don't know what to say or do. So I've been bottling everything up. I feel so much for both of them. I love both of them. And I'm hurting for both of them for different reasons. The truth is, I've been in denial because this is the most heartache I've ever felt in my life. Apparently, love multiplied is nothing but pain. And I'm scared it's going to kill me. I let out the longest breath and downed some of the eggnog. It felt like I'd just unloaded a heavy weight off my chest. Well, congratulations. In talking about bottling it up, you've managed to let some of it out.
You tricked me, I smiled. Closing my eyes, I decided to divulge a little more. Channing and I had sex right before he left. Like literally seconds before. We hadn't been sleeping together since the night I went to Rory's, but we both just lost it at the last moment. It was crazy and passionate, and it broke my heart because I also knew a part of him felt like that moment might have been it for us. Annabelle looked like she was going to cry. That's so sad and romantic at the same time. I miss him so much, I whispered. With each day, as the shock of all this wears off, you'll begin to figure it out. You're going to still love both of them, but your love for one of them will shine a little brighter, and you'll just know. Your confused state right now is like a giant cloud of smoke, but it's temporary. When the smoke clears, only one man will be standing there.
I exhaled.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know how lucky you are to have two good men who love you? Some women wait their whole lives just to be loved one time by one man.
Yeah, well, I'd gladly give up this predicament if it meant that someone I love didn't have to get hurt. After Annabelle left, it felt strange to be alone on Christmas Eve. This was the first time I'd ever experienced it. I'd always celebrated with either my parents or Rory. I normally would have been in Chicago, or my folks would have come here, but this was the one year they'd planned a trip to England for the holidays. Of course, I was previously fine with that, thinking that Channing would be here. Somehow all of the lights in my place were off. So preoccupied, I'd missed sundown altogether, and this was the first instance I became conscious of sitting in the dark. Walking over to the window, I admired the lights decorating the building across the street. People were rushing down the sidewalk, likely trying to get their last-minute shopping done or in a hurry to make it home to their family parties. My loneliness was starting to feel overwhelming. When I returned to the couch, I decided to go on Instagram to see if Channing had posted anything. My heart nearly melted upon the sight of a photo of his mother. She had tinsel on her head and was smiling wide. It made me sad that I wasn't there with them. Channing had edited the photo so that everything was in black and white, except for the red tinsel. I knew he was really trying to cherish moments like that with Christine. It was simply beautiful. After staring through Channing's older photos for a while, I decided to go down the line of usual people I stalk on IG. One of them was Channing's ex, Emily. She'd liked one of his posts once, so I kept a note of her profile, which was public. Stalking her was sweet torture. Tonight, though, I almost wished I hadn't gone to her page. The most recent post was of a huge Christmas tree that seemed to be in the middle of downtown, except it wasn't downtown Boston. It was downtown Chicago. The caption read, "Christmas in Chicago."
Chicago? She was in Chicago? Her family lived in Massachusetts. Why would she be there if not to visit Channing? My heart was thundering in my chest. I knew that given the circumstances, it was unfair of me to feel so angry about this, but I couldn't help it. He was very likely feeling vulnerable right now, and she would be there to take advantage, to lick his wounds, among other things. Sweat was permeating my body. Channing and I were supposed to talk over the phone at 8, but I didn't feel I could wait to call him. I felt like I had to know whether she was there with him. I picked up the phone, and my finger hovered over his name.
No. No, Amber. You have no right to push guilt on him. You'll wait until 8.
The quiet was deafening over the next hour. When the phone finally rang at 8 sharp, I jumped to answer. Hello? His smooth, deep voice soothed me.
Merry Christmas, beautiful.
I closed my eyes to cherish the sound. Merry Christmas.
We just got back from church a little while ago. There was a cafe still open near there, so I took Mom out for hot chocolate, and now we're back home chilling. I'm making duck with an orange sauce. It's in the oven for an hour.
Of course. Turkey or chicken would be too boring.
Damn straight.
After I let out a shaky breath, he could sense something was bothering me.
What's going on, Amber?
Is Emily there with you? I blurted out. Is she coming over for dinner? After some silence, he responded.
No, but she is in Chicago. You knew that?
Yes.
Are you stalking me, Walton?
Unsure whether to fess up, I admitted, I check her Instagram from time to time. She posted that she was in Chicago. He let out a deep breath into the phone.
I honestly didn't know she was coming here. You remember, she and I have mutual friends. That was how I met her, at their wedding. Sean and Melanie. They live here. She says they invited her for Christmas.
So you've been in touch with her, then? She knew you were back in Chicago?
I contacted her before I left Boston. I'd kind of left things a mess with her, and felt I should at least have the decency to tell her I was headed home. But she came to see me here yesterday.
I see. I massaged my temples. What did she say?
You really want to know?
Yes. I braced myself.
She poured her heart out, basically. Begged me to give her another chance. Tried to fuck me. Told me she wouldn't even go back home to Boston if I asked her to stay right then and there.
My blood pressure was rising. That was hard to hear. Really hard to hear. I hadn't felt this level of jealousy in my entire life. When I didn't say anything, he chimed in.
You asked, Amber. I'm just telling you the truth.
He sighed.
Nothing happened, okay?
What did you tell her?
I told her the truth about you, and that I was in limbo. I suggested that she move on from the idea of us, because I couldn't give her anything right now.
Right now? My feelings morphed from jealousy to guilt. What if I couldn't leave Rory behind, was stringing Channing along, and ended up keeping Channing from a good, healthy relationship? Can I ask you something, Channing?
Yes.
Do you think you would be with her if this whole thing with me wasn't happening? He paused, then said,
I probably would, but that's irrelevant. With Emily, it was always infatuation. With you, it's different. What we have feels soul-crushing.
His tone turned angry.
And by the way, if you think I could be moving on with someone else so quickly right now, clearly you didn't hear one goddamn word I said before I left. And that worries me. It makes me feel like you don't really believe any of it. You have this idea in your head that I'm out with Emily, and meanwhile, I'm home on Christmas Eve, miserable and missing you, just wishing you were here so badly.
I felt like an asshole. I miss you too. So much. Neither of us said anything for about a full minute until he asked,
Have you seen him?
No. I'm seeing him tomorrow for Christmas drinks at his neighbor's place. It will be the first time I've seen him since before you left. Channing's breathing got heavier.
I really thought I could fucking handle this. The truth is, I'm not doing a very good job. Who could possibly handle this well?
He surprised me when he said,
I need to see you.
How?
Skype. Can you do it?
Yeah, of course. Let me just log in. My username is AmberWalton008. I'll add you. Call me when you're ready.
We hung up, and I set up my computer on the coffee table. A few minutes later, it started ringing. Butterflies swarmed in my belly as I prepared to see him. When he appeared on screen, I was reminded of how beautiful he is. I smiled to see that Channing was actually wearing a Christmas sweater. Even though it had only been a few days, his hair looked longer. He also hadn't shaved.
Nice sweater.
Are you being facetious?
Only you could look like an absolute god in a Christmas sweater with cats on it.
My mother bought it. It's an ode to Kitty. I felt like I had to wear it.
It looks good on you.
You look beautiful, he said.
I'm wearing sweats.
Doesn't matter. You're beautiful, Amber.
Channing was just staring at me, and I felt compelled to say some of the things I'd been saying to him in my head all night long. The other night before you left, you really opened your heart to me. I stood there like an idiot, frozen, unable to reciprocate. The truth is, I was a fool for letting you get on that plane without saying something, anything, to let you know how much I hesitated. He told me not to use the word love while we were in this limbo. I needed to honor his wishes. I continued, how much I care about you. I don't even know where to begin. You blew into my life like a storm. I was so depressed and hopeless. You saved me with your light, with your laughter, with your positive point of view. Before you moved in, I had such preconceived notions about the type of person you'd become over the years, and I was wrong. You shot those down from the very first night when you listened so patiently to me. I'd never smiled so much in my life. I know you say we only had a few months together, but it truly felt like much longer. You saved me from making one of the biggest mistakes of my life leading up to that night at the Peabody, and in turn, you opened a door for us that I never dreamt was possible. I never imagined that you could love me. The idea of that is still so new. But I feel like the luckiest girl in the world that you do. A long moment of silence passed where I just listened to him breathe.
This is hard,
he finally said. I spoke through my tears.
I know.
It's Christmas. Don't cry, he said.
There was a knock at the door.
That's strange.
Hang on, someone's at the door.
Make sure you look through the peephole.
There was no one there, but there was a box at my feet.
A delivery on Christmas Eve?
I carried it inside and returned to the computer.
Who was it?
No one. There was this box.
Who's it from?
I don't know, it's not labeled.
Open it.
The slight smirk on his face made me think he had something to do with it. Channing, what are you up to? What's inside the box? His blue eyes sparkled through the screen.
Merry Christmas.
How did you manage this?
I have elves.
Really?
As if he hadn't already given me enough with his patience and understanding over the Rory situation, he'd gotten me a present? I felt terrible because I hadn't gotten him anything. I just didn't feel deserving of any of this.
So, open it. Actually, open everything but the small flat one.
The box was filled with various individually wrapped gifts. I opened them one by one. Christmas flannel pajamas, a hot cocoa kit, a stuffed white kitten, and a new Kindle. I finally knew what I was doing tonight.
You shouldn't be alone tonight. I was thinking those things could help.
I absolutely love them,
cradling the stuffed animal, I said, especially my own version of Kitty. He smiled.
Put the pajamas on. I want to see you in them.
Okay.
Taking my time, I lifted off my shirt. As I slipped off my bra, Channing's eyes focused on my breasts. Desire pulled between my legs. I would have given anything for him to be here right now, to feel his scruffy beard on my skin. Once I had the pajamas on, I said, "These are so comfy, thank you."
Okay, open the last thing.
After removing the wrapping, I began to open the flat, black box. Inside was a thin strand of authentic pearls. Oh my God! A pearl necklace!
Then I started to laugh because I realized why he'd chosen this. Not the kind I wish I could give you tonight, but I figured you deserved a real one, unlike the one that dude online and myself would like to give you.
An actual one! Running my fingers along the smooth beads before putting it on, I said, "This is so beautiful. I've never actually owned pearls."
I thought it would look nice around your delicate neck. Anyway, I have one more small thing for you. I'm emailing it to you tomorrow. I'm not finished with it.
Feeling ashamed, I said, "You've gotten me multiple gifts, and I didn't get you anything."
You can make it up to me another time.
I need to do something for you tonight. It's Christmas. Something occurred to me, the one thing I could give him right now.
Are you alone? Mom's taking a nap, so yeah.
Why don't you sit back?
What do you have in mind?
There's not much I can do from here, I said, as I began unbuttoning the flannel pajama top. My nipples stiffened as they hit the air. The room was completely still, as Channing stayed quietly focused on me. He wasn't smiling or laughing. He was transfixed, his eyes growing hazy and filling with need by the second. His tone was demanding.
Take everything off but the necklace, and take me to your room.
I did as he said, carrying my laptop to my bedroom. Once situated on my bed and fully naked, I fiddled with the pearls and asked, "Tell me what you want."
I want to watch you make yourself come.
He'd unzipped his jeans. The tip of his hard cock was sticking out of the top of his boxer briefs. I positioned the computer in a way that he could see my entire body. Bending my head back, I started to masturbate. There was nothing sexier than the sounds of his moans as he began to jerk himself off while watching me. Gyrating my hips and curling my toes, I kept circling my swollen clit. I'd never done anything like this before and wondered why it had taken me so long. The need was so much more intense when distance was put between us. My orgasm rolled through me fast and furiously. Channing groaned out in pleasure. Peeking at the screen through my legs, I could see his fist pumping his engorged cock as cum spurted out. That was an amazingly erotic sight. When he finally stopped, his head stayed back. His shoulders were rising and falling. He was quiet for a while, then wiped his eyes with his sleeve. When his eyes finally met mine again, they were red. Holy shit. I took my finger to the screen and traced it along his face. Are you crying? He sniffled and shook his head as if mad at himself.
I just got a little emotional. Can't say that's ever happened to me while jerking off before.
The fact that I couldn't hold him, couldn't comfort him, was pure torture. His voice was hoarse.
I'm trying so fucking hard.
We stared at each other for a while. He'd told me he loved me several times, but I think this was the first moment that it actually had sunk in. This man really loved me. I saw it more clearly than ever, seeing the tears he was trying to fight, the emotions that a simple sexual act could ignite. I knew. Channing was scared to lose me. He'd been acting calm and controlled and trying to give me space, but he was really hurting. Any shred of doubt I had about his feelings for me was obliterated in that moment. Later that night, I was sitting alone in my new flannel pajamas drinking the cocoa he'd sent me with a big peppermint stick inside the mug when a text came in. Channing, you slay me. Holding the phone to my chest, I smiled so hard. Slay, not slay. For Christmas. My fingers hovered over the keys, wanting so badly to type those three words. I love you. But I promised him I wouldn't say them unless I was his. That rule extended to text messaging, too. I certainly felt like I belonged to him tonight. But Rory was still in the picture, wasn't he? It wouldn't have been fair to go against Channing's wishes. How do you tell someone you love them without actually saying it? Ultimately, I couldn't put into words what I felt, especially with that limitation. So, I opted for a simple response and hoped he could read between the lines. Amber, you slay me too, so much.
Chapter 24. Amber.
His melodic knock made me jump from my seat. When I opened, my heart sped up a bit. He was dressed to the nines in black trousers and a fitted sage-green sweater with a collared shirt underneath. His sleeves were rolled up, displaying an expensive-looking watch I'd never seen on him. Rory had come straight from the airport to my house. His blonde hair was perfectly gelled, and he'd grown out his beard a little. His blue eyes were glowing. Honestly, he'd never looked better. He was holding a white poinsettia plant and reached it out to me.
This is for you.
I took it and placed it on a table. Thank you. It was weird to not be greeting him with a hug or kiss, but we were both holding back for obvious reasons. His eyes were piercing.
You look really pretty,
he said, slipping his hand slowly into his pockets. So do you. He squinted.
I look pretty? Not exactly what I was going for.
You know what I mean. Handsome. Shaking my head, I said, I'm not really thinking straight. The awareness of Rory's signature Kenneth Cole reaction cologne immediately brought me a little sense of comfort, reminding me of times when life was far simpler.
Yeah. You're nervous. It's weird to see you this nervous around me. Try not to be. It's freaking me out a little.
He placed his hand on my arm.
It's just me, Amber.
His touch definitely didn't go unnoticed. I feel like I'm on my first date with you all over again.
How about we not focus on all of the complicated shit for one day? The last thing I want to do is think about the past week. Just be with me. Let's enjoy Christmas. Plus, Boris has the best booze. It's like a geriatric bar up in there.
He flashed a crooked smile that was contagious. Maybe living in denial was the best way to handle this evening. Rory was not about to acknowledge Channing anyway. Aside from the first night he'd discovered that Channing and I were together, he hadn't so much as mentioned his name. I knew it was too painful for him.
Well, I can definitely get behind good booze, I smiled.
Good.
We made our way out of the condo. Rory's car was already running when we got outside. His heated seats felt so good against my bottom. It was completely quiet for the first 5 minutes of our drive. Suddenly, Rory pressed some buttons and the Chipmunk song came on. He knew that song always cracked me up. The Chipmunk song, Don't Be Late, as performed by Alvin and the Chipmunks, was my ultimate favorite Christmas tune. I didn't know if it was my stress level as of late or what, but I just lost it and began to laugh so hard that I was practically crying. Those high-pitched voices were just the medicine I needed. When the song finished, I wiped my eyes and turned to him.
Thank you for that.
Oh, no. I'd laughed so hard, I'd given myself the hiccups.
Hiccups are here. Christmas just got better,
Rory teased.
I'm sorry, I laughed.
For what?
He glanced over at me while still trying to keep his eyes on the road.
I love your hiccups.
Something about the way he'd said it squeezed at my chest, like he was really trying to tell me he loved me. Not my hiccups.
I downloaded the whole Chipmunks album if you want to listen to more,
he said.
We could just put it on a constant loop, get drunk, and forget the past year ever happened.
Wouldn't that be something? That was an interesting thought. If I could erase the past year, would I? A part of me wished I could go back to the simplicity of the way things were before the breakup. But another part knew I would never trade the time I had with Channing for anything.
So, who's going to be there tonight? I asked.
Boris, his daughter Stephanie, her husband Mitchell, and their daughter Sophie.
Wow, okay. I wasn't sure if it was just going to be him and us.
He's normally alone. They live in Connecticut, but they're obviously here for Christmas. They're spending the night at his place.
My breath was visible as we stepped out of Rory's BMW and onto the sidewalk in front of his house. Thankfully, my hiccups had subsided. I could see Boris and his family through the window. Snowflakes were starting to fall. It was going to be a white Christmas after all. When the door opened, Boris greeted me with welcoming arms.
There she is, the famous Amber. I've heard a lot about you, darling. We only have two rules in this house. You make yourself at home, and you leave your troubles behind.
Well, this sounds like exactly the kind of place I need tonight. Rory took my coat, and I followed Boris into the kitchen.
Rory told me you're a Cosmo girl, he said.
It didn't register at first.
A what?
The drink. You like it, right? I had Stephanie pick up the ingredients from the liquor store to make you some.
Oh, the drink. Yes, it's my favorite. That was really nice of you, Boris. Rory put his hand on Boris's shoulder.
Thank you.
Stephanie came rushing into the kitchen. She was wiping her hand on her pants so she could extend it to me.
Sorry, peanut butter hands. I'm Stephanie. You must be Amber.
So nice to meet you. Stephanie kissed Rory on the cheek. It was clear that they considered him like family. After she introduced me to her husband and daughter, we sat around the living room enjoying our drinks and the appetizers that were laid out on the table. The artificial Christmas tree was lit up with piles of presents underneath, and holiday music was playing on low volume. At one point, Stephanie announced that it was time for the annual people decorating tradition. She divided the room into three teams, Boris and Sophie, herself and Mitchell, and Rory and me. The object of the game was that one person would decorate the other like a Christmas tree. Rory volunteered to be the tree for our team. Stephanie gave out scissors, construction paper, tinsel, foil, tape, and little jingly balls. Each team had 10 minutes to decorate their person. Stephanie would then post pictures on her Facebook page and let her friends decide the winning team. Rory was a good sport as I wrapped him up like a present. We would laugh every time pieces of paper or tinsel would fall off of him. Our eyes would lock, and for fleeting moments, I would neglect to remember that he wasn't my boyfriend anymore. With just the right amount of alcohol in me and this fun holiday game, it was becoming easier to forget the heartbreaking situation I'd gotten myself into. The game finished, and Sophie ended up taking the prize. Afterward, we all sat around the living room again for coffee and dessert. It was really hard not to love these people. They were warm and welcoming. Rory was being very quiet, overall. He'd steal glances at me as he ate his pie, but we were both pretty much letting everyone else take control of the conversations.
"Let me tell you something about your Rory,"
Stephanie said as she pointed her cheesecake-laden fork at me.
"My Rory. He's a saint. He is so gosh darn good to my dad. I don't know what I would do if he wasn't looking after him. I used to worry so much, but with Rory upstairs now, I don't have to."
Rory smiled.
"Well, he hasn't kicked me out of the house yet, so."
She looked at me. "You have an amazing boyfriend there." The expression on his face dampened. Clearly, Stephanie assumed we were together. I was surprised she didn't know, since Rory mentioned he told Boris everything. Rory looked unsure of whether to correct her, then said,
"We're not together anymore, actually."
A look of embarrassment washed over Stephanie's face.
"Oh, I'm sorry. I just assumed."
She turned to her father.
"Dad, you told me they were together."
"I didn't say that. I said she was his love."
The room went still for a moment. She looked over at me and seemed to cringe.
"Oh, my God, I'm sorry. I feel stupid now. Well, not that my opinion matters, but you two make such a beautiful couple. Truly. I hope you can work it out. You'd make beautiful babies someday."
Her words were like a knife to the heart. I couldn't believe she'd said that. A pain so enormous filled my chest. Just like that, our joyous, merry evening turned dark. Rory was just looking down at his shoes. He'd been so cool and calm tonight, so positive, really putting his best foot forward to make me comfortable and to enjoy the evening without bringing up any drama. That couldn't have been easy for him, given the circumstances. But that comment was like a huge slap in the face, even though she obviously had no clue what she'd done. He suddenly got up.
"Excuse me."
Then he headed toward the kitchen. I wasn't sure whether to join him or give him space. Boris struggled to get up from his seat before walking over to the kitchen. Left alone with Stephanie and her family, I flashed an awkward smile, then dove back into my cake, forcing some of it down. I could overhear Boris talking to Rory from where I was sitting. Since his hearing was going, he didn't do a very good job of whispering.
"I'm sorry, Rory. I didn't tell Stephanie what was going on because I didn't think it was my place."
"It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm good. I just needed a breather."
"She's lovely, son. I hope it works out."
Unable to take it anymore, I placed my plate down on the coffee table and headed to the kitchen. Boris made his way back to the living room when he noticed me enter. Rory poured himself some liquor. He didn't look up when he said,
"You didn't have to get up. I'm a big boy."
Placing my hand on his arm, I said, "I know you are. You're the strongest person I know." He froze for a moment upon my touch.
"Are you having an okay time?"
"Yeah. Everyone is really nice. I'm pleasantly surprised at how comfortable I am here." As he downed the alcohol, I said, "You sure you're okay?" He placed the glass on the counter.
"I'm good. I already said that. I'm great. Why don't you go back to the living room? I'll be right there, okay?"
I searched his face for the truth. "All right." He really wasn't okay, but I had to respect his wishes. We didn't have a clear plan for the rest of the evening. I assumed I'd be going upstairs with him, and that worried me a little, mainly because I didn't know how to handle myself alone with him anymore. Rory somehow got finagled into making a gingerbread house with Sophie. I watched as he patiently helped her piece everything together. I was certain that Rory would make a wonderful father someday, regardless of whether the child was his biologically or not. I'd always known that about him because of how well he always took care of me. Boris took me aside while Rory was still in deep with the gingerbread house.
"Can I talk to you for a minute, darling?"
Taken aback, I stood up from my seat.
"Of course."
Rory's eyes darted over to me when he noticed me walking away with the old man. He looked a little alarmed. Offering a reassuring smile, I mouthed, "It's fine." He led me down the hall and into his bedroom, which was more like a shrine to the woman I could only assume was his late wife. There were pictures of her and him everywhere, taking up almost every inch of space on his bureau and walls. The decor in the room was still quite feminine, likely her touches that he never wanted to change. He picked up one of the framed photos.
"That's my Ellie. See, in the end, all you have are memories. But you get to choose now who stars in the movie that is your life."
He put the photo back.
"He really deeply loves you."
I swallowed. "I know."
"He told me the whole story, about this Fanning. He's worried that you've really fallen in love with him and that it's too late."
"Channing," I corrected.
"Yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway, I know this isn't a simple situation. You might be thinking that I asked you to come in here so that I can convince you to take Rory back, but I'm not going to do such a thing. I would never tamper with a situation that isn't any of my business. No one can tell someone who to love."
He pointed to his chest.
"The answer is already in your heart, somewhere in here. And it's not going to come from me or anyone else. Only you know what you really want. What I can ask you is to not waste his time or lead him on, if you figure it out and have no intention of being with him. He may be putting on a strong front, but he's not that strong. He's not stupid either. He takes full responsibility for the decision he made when he broke up with you. He doesn't expect sympathy. He just wants your love, if it's still there. And he's willing to swallow his pride to get it back. If it's not there anymore, then let him find the person he can make memories with."
The thought of Rory moving on with someone else was still a painful one. Old habits die hard. "I promise I don't want to string him along. I'm still trying to figure out what's inside. It feels like a jumbled mess right now, and it's literally making me ill. I feel this constant pain inside of my chest that had never been there before, because I'm in love with both of them."
"You might think so, but you can't really be in love with two people. You want to love them both because you care for them both.
The stress of not wanting anyone to get hurt is suppressing your ability to decipher your true feelings. Don't force it. Let it come to you.
Thank you for not judging me, Boris. I know your allegiance is with Rory, and please believe me when I say I only want the best for him, too.
When we returned to the living room, Rory stood up from the couch. I could tell he was itching to leave. The gingerbread house he'd made with Sophie looked completely finished, covered in frosting, sprinkles, and gumdrops.
"Are you leaving?" Sophie asked him.
"I think I need to get Miss Amber home."
The little girl pouted.
"We haven't even eaten the house yet."
He knelt to meet her at eye level.
"All that work and you want to eat it?"
She looked at him like he was crazy for asking.
"That's the fun part."
Stephanie took the hint that we were ready to go. She stood up and offered me a hug.
"Amber, it was so nice meeting you. I just friended you on Facebook. Hope you don't mind."
"Not at all, and so great meeting you too." I looked down at Sophie and smiled.
"And you."
Boris hugged me goodbye.
"Good night, my lady. It was a pleasure."
The pleasure was all mine. Once out in the hallway that connected the two apartments, Rory turned to me.
"Will you come upstairs for a little while before I drive you back?"
"Yes, of course." Ecstatic to see me, Bruiser jumped up to lick my face when we entered Rory's apartment. The dog followed me over to the couch and placed his head on my lap. Rory sat across from us on the chaise lounge.
"So, are you going to tell me what Boris said to you? I hope he didn't embarrass me."
"No, it was fine. Nothing like that. He told me he knew what was going on with us. He was just looking out for you. And me. He's a good man. Very wise." We were quiet for a while, but he never took his eyes off me. He looked like he had so much to say, though. Rory's stare was penetrating.
"I can't even think about you with Channing."
It surprised me that he mentioned his name. He went on.
"I choose not to, because it's too painful for me. But I'm not going to stand here and tell you all the reasons why I'm a better fit for you, why you should choose me. That's for you to decide. I'm not bringing him into this because my feelings for you have nothing to do with anyone else."
He looked down at the ground and shook his head.
"I made a mistake. A big one. Nothing good ever comes out of hiding the truth. I've learned my lesson the hard way."
The dog had fallen asleep on me. Rory suddenly stood up from his chair.
"I put something together for you. I didn't know what else to get you."
He went to his bedroom and returned with a thick book, then sat down, this time next to me.
"I printed years' worth of our digital photos. I put them in an album in chronological order."
Looking down at the thick book, I said, "I can't believe you took the time to do that."
"Well, I've been dwelling in the past anyway these last few months. Might as well illustrate it all."
He moved closer to me, and the warmth of his body was unsettling. I slowly opened the album and began looking through the photos, which started from when we had first gotten together. God, we were so young, and I was so happy. Flipping through the pages, I really began to remember all of the reasons I'd fallen in love with him, how happy we were together. I came across the set of photos that were taken the first night we'd ever made love. We were sitting in front of a fire at the cabin Rory had saved for months to rent. He and I had waited a while to have sex. I was 17 and had just graduated high school when I lost my virginity. We lied to our parents, telling them we were going on a camping trip with friends. In reality, Rory had rented a cabin in the woods for just the two of us. Everyone always complains about their first time, how miserable it was. Not mine. My first time was one of the best nights of my life. We were surrounded by candles and a fireplace. Snow was falling outside, and Rory had taken his time with me. He'd had sex with one other person before we'd gotten together, so I wasn't his first. He knew what he was doing and made love to me so slowly and sensually, making sure to break me in easily. There was a little blood, but there was never any pain. And once we did it a couple of times and it was no longer painful, we couldn't get enough of each other. We stayed holed up, screwing each other's brains out in that cabin for 2 days straight. It was bliss.
I'll never forget that night, I whispered. Rory was lost in thought for a few seconds before he said,
Yeah, it was pretty fucking awesome.
It took the better part of an hour to get through all of the photos he'd printed out. Seeing 9 years playing before my eyes like a movie made the ache in my chest even more profound. But he was trying to get me to remember when I'd never actually forgotten. I'll always cherish this album. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Glancing out the window, I noticed that the snow was really starting to come down. Had it been snowing like this the whole time we were here? Rory turned the news on, and the weather lady was immediately warning against being out on the roads unless it was an emergency. It hit me then that there was no way I was getting home tonight. He looked at me with a slight smirk.
I swear, I didn't plan this.
Black ice? That's kind of scary. His mouth curved into a smile.
Scarier than spending the night here alone with me.
Just by a little. We shared a laugh before he said,
I'll sleep on the couch. But you won't be sleeping alone in my bed. Bruzy's gonna want to sleep next to you like old times.
Poor Bruzy. He's gonna be so confused.
Since we're gonna be here a while, why don't I make us some hot chocolate?
Hot chocolate. That immediately made me think of Channing.
Sure.
I slipped out from under the sleeping dog and joined Rory in the kitchen, where we sat and sipped the hot cocoa he'd made. Under any other circumstances, being snowed in with this handsome man who'd been my entire life for so long would have been a dream. He must have been able to sense my inner turmoil when he said,
Don't feel guilty when you look at me. I caused this myself. All of it.
No, you didn't. You didn't cause the accident. You were in shock, and you did what you thought was right. You thought you were protecting me. This whole situation, it's nobody's fault. I don't blame you for anything anymore, now that I understand what really happened.
My entire reason for coming back was that I could no longer live with you thinking I didn't love you. I just waited too long.
Leaning in and grabbing his hands, I said, I know you love me. It's one of the few things I'm sure of right now. My touching him may have been too much because he suddenly ripped himself away from me and walked across the room. Placing his head in his hands, he said,
When I thought about my future, I always pictured it with you. Now I see nothing. I just don't know what it looks like.
For the first time, I could see his eyes water. He seemed angry with himself for losing the composure he'd tried so hard for.
So much for a drama-free Christmas, he muttered.
Getting up and pulling him into a hug, I wanted to just take his pain away, reassure him that everything would be okay, that I still loved him. I did. But it wasn't that simple. It wasn't just us anymore. His heart was beating rampantly, and my own was matching his rhythm. He was breathing fast, frantic breaths into my neck, and slowly his lips traveled upward. My body stirred as his mouth landed on mine. I didn't have the heart to pull away, nor did I want to. The kiss got more intense fast. We'd kissed thousands of times before this, but never had it felt so desperate, so forbidden, so bittersweet. Somehow I ended up pinned against the wall. He whispered over my mouth,
I want you, and I can't have you, and that's fucking killing me because I still feel like you're mine.
He leaned his head against mine. The pain in his voice was palpable, and it permeated my entire being.
I miss your laughter. Miss the way you used to look at me. Miss your love, and goddammit, I miss fucking you. I miss fucking you so damn much. I'd just about give my life at this point to be inside of you again.
He buried his face in my neck.
I'm so fucking hard right now.
I was beginning to realize how very dangerous this was. His words were making me wet. My body was turned on as he continued to press against me. I was getting carried away. I couldn't remember the last time things felt this intense with Rory. I'm a terrible person. I couldn't let this go on a second longer. Pulling myself away from him, I said, I'm sorry. He placed his hand over his face, scrubbing his skin and nodding as if he'd expected me to pull away.
It's okay.
I retreated to his room for the rest of the evening. As expected,
Bruiser followed me into the bed. Drowning in Rory's familiar scent, I cried myself to sleep, my tears seeping through the fabric of his pillow. Rory dropped me back off at my place early the next morning. Once home, when I logged into my messages, I realized an email from Channing had come in overnight.
Dear Amber, attached is something I put together for you today. It's a playlist of songs that remind me of us. Who knew that moving back to Chicago and being away from you would turn me into such a sap? Tell Milo I don't need him to emasculate me anymore. I'm doing a damn good job of that myself. In all seriousness, I hope you like it. At the very least, don't laugh at me. Merry Christmas. Love, Channing.
Plugging my headphones in, I lay back and pressed play on the first song. It was Wake Me Up When September Ends by Green Day. There was no doubt behind the meaning. Lainey had died in September. He'd mentioned once before that this song would always remind him of her. It touched me that he'd chosen to start with that one. As painful as it was, the fact would always remain that Lainey's death was what really brought the two of us together as friends. The next couple of songs, which included Best Friend by Jason Mraz and You Are the Sunshine of My Life by Stevie Wonder, I could only assume represented our friendship as teenagers. When What Hurts the Most by Rascal Flatts came on, it completely changed the tone of the playlist. I knew that reflected the time after he returned home from college, when everything had changed between us. He'd only included the one melancholy song, which transitioned into another song that made me crack the hell up. It was Just a Friend by Biz Markie. That was apparently representative of the beginnings of our time together in Boston, and his denial about his feelings for me. The final song was Perfect by Ed Sheeran. The lyrics made me cry because they seemed to represent his ultimately falling in love with me. It truly was perfect.
I kissed Rory.
The guilt had felt like it was killing me. After hours of listening to Channing's playlist, I finally built up the courage to dial him and vomited out those words the second he picked up. The silence on the other end of the line was deafening, so I continued. He was just so hurt and emotional, and I got caught up in the moment and the memories. I felt like I needed to tell you. I don't ever want to keep anything from you. He finally spoke.
Yeah, well, some things I'm not sure I want to know.
There was a long pause before he expelled a long breath into the phone.
Did anything else happen?
No. It snowed really badly here last night. It was too dangerous for him to drive me home, so I spent the night there. He slept on the couch. I slept in the bedroom with Bruiser. Then he drove me home this morning. I came home to your playlist. It was so touching. I can't even tell you how
Thank you for telling me.
Even though he was thanking me, he sounded beyond pissed.
Since we're being honest, I should tell you that I kissed Emily last night.
His admission took a few seconds to compute. I swallowed.
What?
Yeah.
She came by to say goodbye before heading back to Boston, and we ended up kissing before she left.
My mouth felt parched as I swallowed hard.
Oh.
It felt like he'd just shredded my heart to pieces, even though it was incredibly unfair of me to react that way. My brain felt depleted, unable to form a coherent response.
Are you still there?
He asked. Yes.
Are you all right?
Not really.
Save your hyperventilation, Amber. It didn't happen. I just made it up so you would know what this feels like.
The breath I'd been holding finally escaped me. Oh, my God.
Feel that relief? Well, I'm feeling the exact opposite right now. A part of me prepared myself for this, but that's not making it any easier.
Yeah, well, I completely deserved that. Sounding understandably pissed, he said,
I need to just not talk for a little bit, okay? I'm gonna let you go.
He hung up before I could say anything further. That night over the phone, Annabelle tried her best to cheer me up after I recalled what happened with Channing.
Stop beating yourself up over it,
No one crucifies the Bachelorette for kissing 10 different guys in a week or taking 3 of them to a fantasy suite. I'm not the freaking Bachelorette. I have no excuse. And Channing didn't sign up for some reality show. Anyone in your position would have done the same thing. You're supposed to be figuring things out. This is the rest of your life we're talking about. Kissing Rory was part of the process. This is a man you've made love to countless times. You just kissed him. You didn't let it go any farther. It was a moment, and it passed. Feeling weakness throughout my entire body, I said, I don't feel so well, Annabelle. I feel like I can't even stand up. It's stress. It will always catch up with you. Maybe. It feels like more than that, though. I don't know. What does it feel like? The answer to that question came easy. Honestly, it feels like I'm dying from a broken heart.
Chapter 25. Channing. Maybe I was being too harsh on her. After all, she didn't have to admit anything. Amber was being honest, and I'd basically punished her for it. But I couldn't help my reaction. It downright pissed me off that she'd kissed Rory. It made me jealous as all hell. While I could accept giving her this time to sort things out, I sure as fuck didn't have to be happy about it. It had been 4 days since I hung up on her. I was being a dick. And I never called her back. She hadn't called me either, though, so I had to wonder if I was losing this war. On top of worrying about Amber, I had a lot to handle at home. While Mom was stable, I was spending my days figuring out a daytime situation for her. It no longer seemed feasible to have her all alone while I worked, so I was looking into hiring someone to look after her, even if just for parts of the day. I ended up moving back into the house I grew up in to care for her, but kept my apartment for the time being. My life in Chicago looked nothing like it used to, and suddenly came with a tremendous amount of responsibility. But this was my mother, the only family I had left. If it was the last thing I did, I was going to make sure she was safe and well cared for. No one was going to do that better than I could. No one loved her like I did. Mom was still sleeping when my cell phone rang on this particular morning. It was Amber's friend, Annabelle. Her number had been programmed into my phone from that one time I asked for her assistance in hand-delivering Amber's Christmas box. But it was odd that she'd be calling me. I answered, "Annabelle?" "Channing, hi." Her tone was melancholy. "What's going on? Is everything okay?" "Amber doesn't know I'm calling you, but I thought you should know that she was admitted to the hospital a couple of days ago." "What? What happened?" "She has pneumonia and severe dehydration. I think she was so stressed out that she stopped taking care of herself. Caught something. I'd gone to her condo to check on her after she stopped answering my calls, and she was in bad shape. She told me she felt like she was dying. So I drove her to Mass General. Anyway, she's been here ever since. They're pumping her with antibiotics and steroids, and they're not letting her go until her lungs have cleared. I just thought you should know." My heartbeat was out of control, and a rush of adrenaline shot through me. I suddenly felt helpless. Fuck. I obviously had no idea. We hadn't been speaking. "I know. She was really messed up over that. She'd kill me if she knew I was calling you right now, but I felt that it was the right thing to do. I figured you'd want to know."
"You said Mass General?"
"Yes. Room 805, if by some chance you can fly out here."
I couldn't believe that I had no idea she was so sick. That was proof that I'd let my anger go too far. Were it not for Annabelle calling me, I would have still been in the dark for God knows how long. If something had happened to Amber when we weren't speaking, I'd never forgive myself. I ended up driving my mother over to her sister's house, which was nearly 2 hours away from Chicago, so that I could head to Boston. I didn't even know whether Amber was going to want me there. I just knew I needed to be there. The ride from the airport to the hospital was a blur. With only a small backpack, I had no idea how long I'd be staying or what was going to happen. When the Uber dropped me off in front of Mass General, I rushed to the 8th floor as fast as I could. It shouldn't have shocked me to see him standing right outside of her hospital room door, but it did. I hadn't expected to have run into Rory at that moment. My body went rigid, and my fists instinctively tightened. My guard was fully up when he turned around and noticed me. "How is she?" I asked. Rory tossed his empty cup of coffee almost violently into a nearby trash can. "Nice to see you, too." "She's sleeping. In fact, she just fell asleep. I would wait to go in there. You'll wake her up, and she needs a rest. I'm sure if it were up to you, she'd be sleeping all day if it kept me out." I wasn't about to take his word for it. Peeking through the glass, I could see he wasn't making it up, though. Amber looked like an angel as she lay there with her eyes closed, an IV connected to her arm. She was wearing a light blue hospital gown, and her hair was disheveled. An incredible sadness came over me. It felt like I was breaking inside with each second that I watched her lying there helpless. Look at how much I missed because of my ego. This was a lesson to never, ever part with someone angry. Never assume you'll have all the time in the world to work things out. Amber was probably going to be fine, but what if that weren't the case? Pneumonia is no joke. Rory and I were now both side by side, silently competing for space to look through the narrow window on the door. If testosterone in the air could have cured her illness, Amber's lungs would have cleared in no time. He spoke first. "I've never seen her this sick." My anger was rising. "We fucking did this to her." He abruptly faced me. "You're blaming me?" I said, "We, not you. This whole situation. She's been under so much stress that it wore down her immune system." "I never meant to cause her pain by coming back," he said. "I know that." Rory seemed surprised that I'd agreed with him and seemed to calm down a little. "When did you get in?" "Just now. I came here straight from the airport." "Have you been here the whole time with her?" "She's been here for a couple of days. I've been here the majority of the time." Still looking through the window at her, I asked, "Is she going to be all right?" "Yeah, at this point, they're just monitoring her. This is the first time she's really fallen asleep. She needed it badly." As much as we were making an attempt to be cordial, you could cut the tension in the air with a knife. It felt like it was only a matter of time before one of us lost it on the other. "Why did you even come here, Channing?" And with that, it would seem my losing it would be happening sooner rather than later. I whipped my head toward him. "Excuse me?" "She told me you weren't even speaking to her. She didn't even do anything wrong." I was ready to punch him. "Well, forgive me if I got upset because my girlfriend kissed her ex-boyfriend." He angrily laughed at me. "Your girlfriend? She's not your girlfriend." "The fuck she isn't. She became mine long before you came back from the dead and fucked everything up." "Sorry to ruin your plan of fucking me over the first chance you got. You mean to tell me that Boston job was a coincidence? You heard we broke up and wasted no time pouncing on her." I bent my head back in laughter. "Are you kidding me? You have some nerve to accuse me of that when you're the one who fucking pounced on her the second I went away to college. You knew how I..." "Excuse me, gentlemen," a nurse interrupted our sparring. "You're going to need to take this outside. A hospital floor is no place for a fight between two grown men." Rory and I just death stared at each other for a few seconds. Huffing and puffing, we stalked over to the elevators and down to the lobby. Exiting the building in silence, I wasn't sure if we were about to roll up our sleeves and go at it outside or what. All I knew was, whatever was about to happen between us had been a long time coming, a decade in the making. We ended up in a grassy area off to the side of the building that was adjacent to a parking lot. There was no one else in sight, which was probably a good thing. He held his hands out. "What are we even doing out here? What do you want from me, Channing? It's not enough that you stole the only woman I've ever loved out from under me, fucked her, and manipulated her into falling for you?" I got in his face. "Is that what you really think? You think what she and I have isn't real? I feel sorry for you if that's the case, because you're gravely misinformed with a false sense of confidence. You weren't there." You have no idea what's developed between us. You wouldn't know a mature relationship if it hit you in the face, Lord. Have you ever told her exactly how many women you slept with before?